Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy from Cosmic Love for June 13, 2015. And it's a special pleasure to have David Gibson on the show today discussing the healing power of sound. David is a leading expert on sound healing. He's the director of the only institute in the nation that offers an approved associate's degree in sound healing. And he is co-creator of the World Sound Healing Conference. He has developed a unique perspective on everything going on in this field. David began as a professional recording engineer and has been teaching engineering and producing groups in major studios since 1982. He has been studying esoteric systems of sound healing for over 15 years, and he has an in-depth understanding of the underlying physics of sound. So thank you, David, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Christopher. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm really inspired already looking at your material. I provide a lot of ample links in an introduction on the Cosmic Love homepage for people wanting to peruse your material, your research, all the different work that you're doing. Some of it really is quite amazing. I'd love to go into some of the highlights of that today. We haven't got that much time to cover near as much as I would love to, but let's go into a little bit how you began with this, not just, you know, your sound understanding of sound for inspiration and music, but also for healing. What got you on this path of sound healing?
Well, you know, I started as a recording engineer, and I worked with a lot of major recording groups. And at one point, I started seeing, someone asked me, we know what all the equipment does, but which way do you turn the knobs to make it sound good? And I thought, you know, I thought I should be able to explain this. So I came up with a whole visual system for showing different styles of mixes for different types of music, where I use a bubble or a sphere for each sound in the mix. And I'm able to show the difference between classical or rock and roll or hip hop or jazz or new age or sound healing even. And I wrote a book that uses these visuals to explain different styles of mixes. And it became the number one book in audio for the last 15 years. It's in every major college. And then I came up with a whole system where I could use these visuals of the sounds in 3D. So they float between the speakers with 3D glasses right where the sounds are.
Wow.
And you can reach up with a data glove and grab them and control the mix. And in surround sound, the sounds are floating around the room in full virtual reality. So you put on your VR helmet and you can reach up and grab them and even throw the sounds and bounce them off the walls and control
That's
the
amazing.
Mix that way.
That's amazing. Well, how's that taken off?
Well, it's good. We've still got a prototype, and the book's doing well, but we've got a prototype where you can actually mix in full 3D. But we've been waiting to really get it out there because I got more interested in the sound healing part. You know, I realized that you could not only have these sounds floating around the room with visuals, but you could put them inside your body. So
now
you could have a...
Yeah.
You could have a 3D visual of any body system, whether it's your endocrine system or skeletal system or all your chakras, and you can take a 3D visual, which would be a sacred geometry healing image that we already know has its own capacity, and put it like in your heart. And when you put it in your heart, it moves the sound up and down on a sound table, so you feel it in your heart right where you're seeing it visually. So you can have a,
yeah.
So then I thought, you know, if I was going to do that, I should learn about what the different sounds do so that I don't explode any organs.
Yeah, and I was going to say that. How's that work? I mean, how do you know the corresponding sounds for the different chakras? I know there's a science to that, and I've seen charts of that going back 30, 40 years, and I've seen some different charts. So I'm sure you've studied that over the years and tuned into.
We've got all the different charts, and nobody agrees with anybody. Yeah, and in fact, on any frequency for the body, even besides chakra, nobody agrees with anybody. So we set up the Sound Healing Research Foundation to actually start doing research and to take on the research that others have done and put it out there for free so that everybody could get it. But we want to know how they found these frequencies. And we'll start pinning it down precisely. But you know what we also teach here at our school, because we have, you know, the whole Sound Healing Certificate and Associate Degree here, both at the Institute in San Francisco and online, is we teach how to find it intuitively. Because, you know, a lot of these frequencies aren't necessarily going to be the same from person to person. So once when you teach people to really find them themselves, then we're not really subject to the dream spell of whatever someone else has come up with.
That makes sense, because I'm sure just as there's biochemical individuality, there's bioenergetic and frequency individualities.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In other words, just like one person's food's another person's poison with metabolic typing with the body, bioenergetic morphing of the frequencies of the body, I'm sure, is a highly personalized phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's some frequencies that are going to be the same from person to person, like the materials of bones or, you know, nerves, tendons, ligaments. Even these precise frequencies of the 240 types of cells might be the same. But, you know, what will be the same is my guess, and see what you think about this, is the relationship or musical intervals from the parts of one part of the body to the other. So I imagine that the overall heart frequency will be the same relationship to the liver in all people, unless you're sick. Right, right. So I think we'll be able to find a template of perfection based on the musical intervals. Because the one thing we know for sure is when you're healthy, the whole body is working in harmony.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing we really know. If it's not working in harmony, you're sick or dead.
I would think that middle C, so to speak, metaphorically on the scale, is the heart coherence frequency, which is golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm when you're in the frequency of coherence or holy compassion, joy. You know, there's a frequency there that in the quantum field, you know, the fractal order of the holographic universe, it's all through the quantum field. And that's one of the frequencies to understand in the solfeggio frequencies. Now, solfeggio frequencies, could you go into that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to burst a lot of people's bubbles.
Okay.
You know, Leonard Horowitz, who came up with the whole thing that 528 hertz is love, now admits on a YouTube video that there is no science behind this, and that it has anything to do with love, or that it unravels the DNA. And a lot of people haven't really got the message yet. You know, it's really...
That's interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of people are resorting to 432, which actually has a lot of auspicious things about it, but it's actually not really has anything to do with love either. You know, we did a research project here at the Institute. One of our students actually did it, where we had people go into a state of love. So we had multiple meditations that they could choose from to get into a state of pure love. And then we gave them a tone generator and had them find the frequency that matched that feeling of love. And we had about 200 people do it.
Yeah.
And there's a small bell curve around 250 to 300 hertz. And that's really the most definitive research in the field for love. But, you know, if I have people, and I do this every class, and often do it in radio shows too, is if I have people tune in to love and just feel it and come up with a frequency, people are all over the map.
All over the map.
Yeah. But you know what? I think there very likely might be a cosmic frequency of love. I mean, it really makes sense. I mean, Alice Bailey talks about it, that our whole universe, the essence is love. And it might be because, you know, you can bring love to every frequency.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, I can do love with, I'm adding love to that. Or I could do love with, I'm adding love to that, right? Right? Not your natural, most common frequencies for love, but I can add love to any frequency. So it occurred to me that love, the cosmic frequency of love, might be a timbre, which is simply a sound, which is simply a bunch of frequencies. And then you could bring that combination of frequencies to any frequency.
Well, that kind of makes sense, that when you're in, you know, incoherence, so to speak, you know, they can actually measure that. It's there was different people that I've had. Dan Winter I had on my show twice. That has, you know, kind of pioneered that field of certain frequencies for coherence. Uh-huh. And he had a way. Matter of fact, he has now an application, a $70 app, and he sold millions of them worldwide. That actually shows when you're talking with someone on the phone, it has frequency coordinates where you can determine whether you are in while you're speaking or the person is in coherence or not.
Yeah. Right.
And so it makes sense to me that when a person's in a coherent state, like the Franciscan sisters or Franciscan monks that used to, you know, go into meditation, and they used to do toning, and that all those tones, if you're in a incoherence, it just makes sense that they'd all be bringing love to the frequencies.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I often think that the soul frequency is even more important than the heart frequency, because I feel that the soul, the heart, and all the chakras and every part of the system is based on that fundamental root frequency of the soul, where you are ultimate peace, connected to source 100% with universal love flowing completely. And it's interesting, we find that frequency here by looking for what note makes somebody really still. And it's always different than the voice key that someone speaks in. The key you speak in is, I could actually find that note even. Let's see here. I'm going to take a second before this come up. So that's, When you're in coherence, you're going to speak more in the key, and you're going to go to the home note of the key that you speak in. You speak, that's interesting, you speak in the key of F.
I do, you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So everybody sings when they speak. So everybody's singing in a specific key. And that's what's interesting. This is what's really cool about this, is I found that just about everybody goes to the home note of the key of their voice when they speak of love or express love. It's like, it's, you know, it's like, I really love my kitty. I go right down to the home note. I really love my kitty. If I didn't love my kitty, I would say, I really love my kitty. You'd be going, what's wrong with your kitty, right?
Yeah, really.
And that's coherence. When people are coherent, they go to the home note of their voice because they're relaxed.
Yeah. Well, that
makes
sense.
It makes other people feel peaceful, too.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the resonance in each person's voice, there is a unique frequency that really reflects their soul, which makes sense to me. Over the years I've seen enough research on sound and resonance properties and different systems of toning and different systems of therapy where they'll tune into a person's voice patterns, harmonics, there's different systems out there I've seen over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, we have about six of them here.
Yeah. And
I don't think the voice carries the soul note, though.
You don't?
No, I really don't. And I've been.
So how would you tune into it?
Well, the way you tune into it is when the whole system goes to peace. Because we do analysis just like I did here to find your note. I just listened to the key of what you were singing when you speak. That note is almost always different than the soul note. The way we find it here is I'll put somebody on the sound table, which has subwoofers in the table, and I'll play uh-huh. each of the 12 notes and see which note makes the person the most peaceful. However, I can now see a person's note when I see them. And we all see it, actually. The first thing we see is we see how stable or scattered somebody is.
Yeah.
You know, how still, and that's, and we all, everybody notices it. Spiritual leaders are perfectly still. The second thing we see is how fast or slow somebody moves and speaks. How fast we can kind of feel the speed of their heart rate. And in fact, we can definitely feel it based on heart math. And we can even feel the electromagnetic field is not only of the heart, but of the brain as well. So we're getting the pulsing of the brain wave. So that pulsing is a certain note. And so that's what we're really looking for, is the overall metabolism of the person as opposed to the frequency of their voice, which the voice can change if you, get heavier or if you gain weight or lose weight. Whereas the soul, I really believe the soul note is the same from lifetime to lifetime, because the most things are defined by their vibrational rate. And if you, if a cell, for example, changes its frequency, it's a different type of cell. If your soul were to change frequency from lifetime to lifetime, you'd be a different soul. And I assume that frequency is where you're at peace. That's the assumption.
My understanding is, and this is my study of the mysteries and the reincarnation from multiple perspectives, especially the Ascended Master teachings, is that quite often souls will embody in different incarnations on different rays, the seven rays, so to speak.
And but not the soul.
That's
not
the soul.
The soul. The personality ray, the physical body ray, the mental and emotional body rays are different from lifetime, but the soul ray is the same from lifetime to lifetime. That's what the way Alice Bailey explains it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the ancients were really into atoning. Even the ancient Pueblo Indian dwellings had these kivas in them, these circular toning chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with those?
Oh yeah.
And they were really into toning, weren't they? That's what those were really for, those circular chambers.
Yeah, and those are tuned to a very specific frequency.
And what frequency was that?
Well, I'm not sure. That's interesting because, you know, when you have a dome, it's very much one frequency, whereas the King's Chamber actually has three frequencies from left to right, front to back, and ceiling to floor resonances that create a whole chord, and it's that chord that takes you into other dimensions in the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid. So it would be interesting to see if they're actually, you know, tuning. I mean, I would guess that they would tune, if they're really tuned in, which I imagine they are, they would tune those chambers maybe to the Master Shaman soul note.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're tuning it to the main earth frequency, you know.
My Schumann resonance.
Well, yeah, it could be. The Schumann resonance is technically the frequency in the atmosphere, but it's still based on the size of the earth. But it does change based on the distance between the Earth and the ionosphere. A lot of people think of that as a frequency there. There's also the 136.102 hertz, which is like, ooh, which is based on the number of seconds it takes for the Earth to go around the sun divided into the speed of sound.
Extremely low frequency.
Not that low. It's like ooh. It's not like oh, but it is, and it's in a lot of tuning forks are tuned to that. So
fascinating.
They could just be tuning in.
Years ago, I had a doctor on the show. I can't remember his name right off, but he was into astroacoustics, and he talked during the show about the different frequencies with astroacoustics. That they can tune into the different stars and have the different stars have different frequencies.
Ooh, that's
and,
cool.
And it was a really, really fascinating show. And of course, the story of this guy was he had a lot of profound depth to his background. When I was talking about heart coherence and Dan Winter, Dan has got profound depth to his concepts of heart coherence that the Heart Math Institute actually took off from his understanding of the science,
and they
kind of simplified it and stepped it down. But Dan just kept sailing on with developing the algorithms for these small smartphone computers that would actually do the diagnostics on the voice frequency modulations.
Uh-huh.
To know if you were or the person you're talking with was in coherence or not, and that's back to the
right.
thing of the full spectrum love, no matter on what spectrum of the audio spectrum you're at. If you're in coherence, you're going to convey that golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm
going up and down in speed. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. In my book, I actually talk about the whole hierarchy of vibration, where frequency is actually not necessarily the most important. And you can look at vibration from like four main perspectives. Frequency, which we've been talking about mostly here the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Or you can look at it as timbre, or tone or sound, which is a combination of frequencies. Or you can look at it from the perspective of music. So, and that's flowing frequencies, right, over time. Where,
uh-huh.
Or you can look at it from energy, from a level of energy. And it's interesting, you know, when you look at any of this that we've been talking about, especially love, it's really the more important thing than the frequency is the quality of the flow of the music. And that's a flow that's in alignment with the flow that you commonly find in nature and source and spirit. The most basic flow, most common smooth flow is the Fibonacci or golden mean, especially the Fibonacci, you know, the last number plus the present equals the next. The last number plus the present equal. There's no more consistent flow than that. And so it's really, when you look at heart coherence, you know, it's really all about the flow of energy. And in fact, when somebody is dead, they've got frequencies of cells. They've got timbres of organs, which are a bunch of frequencies that make up all the parts of the body. But there is no flow. There's no blood flow, no musical blood flow, no musical flow through the nervous system, no musical flow through the digestive system. It's all about smooth flow, not to mention the smooth flow of spirit and universal love through the whole system. That quality of that flow is really the essence. And when you go to the quantum level, as you well know, when you zoom in, there is no stuff of frequency. It's all changing frequencies. It's all flow. We are just a musical flow. And so the whole deal is to get that flow that's in alignment with source, the flow that naturally happens as opposed to the flow that our mind makes up or that technology, you know, often does, or motors or things like that. Things flow that breaks things down.
So the new expression will be go with the flow, bro.
That's it. You know, it's really it. And you, when you look at any organism, it's always, health is always about the quality of the smooth flow. I mean, in the meridians, if you don't have smooth flow, I mean, that's the whole deal. Oh, this is really cool. And this is what I was thinking about earlier in the soul, you know. So when you get down, instead of the frequency of the soul, what's more important is the song of the soul.
Oh, I like that.
And so, check this out. I was talking to this woman about acupuncture. Well, we've got a book that shows the actual frequency of every acupuncture point.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me that when energy flows through acupuncture points, they are actually playing a song. Right?
So you're going harmony, from one of frequency. Harmony of the spheres could be the seven chakras in the auric field of the body as a whole, the music of the spheres.
Yeah. And when you said stars, it's like, you know, it's the planet. It's more important than the frequency of the planets is the flow of the planets in relationship to each other. And then when you said the stars, oh my God, you know, it just has to be that there's perfect sacred geometry in the layout of all the stars, although no one really talks about it other than galaxies. You know, the relationships of galaxies. I mean, they're going to have their own flow in relation to each other as well. A whole nother level of music going on.
In astrology, psychology, you've got the deep space field of the 12 constellations going in the way in the background. And then in the foreground, and of course in the quantum field, it's all connected, you know, instant, everywhere,
right,
interactive. But you've got the deep space field, and then you've got, you know, in our galaxy, you've got our solar system, and you've got these planetary, you know, harmonic, you know, there's different harmonics, all the different planets. And that's modulating the field or stepping down the deep space energies with different alignments and geometries into, you know, the Earth field, which, of course, resonates, human resonance and otherwise, in our brain waves and in a field within, you know, our body. And of course, you know, there's these cycles within cycles that are like a grand harmonic, which is what astrology, psychology,
a big symphony.
Big symphony. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that's going on right now, I call it the big shift, and I've been writing about this a lot this last several years, is that when our solar system, which is about two-thirds out in the galactic plane of our Milky Way galaxy, you know, in that plane, it orbits up and down across, because it, I mean, of course, it's moving around the galactic plane of the Milky Way galaxy in a couple hundred million year cycle, but it's moving around, and it's going up and down because it's moving forward, so it isn't going, it would be going around if it was still, but it's going forward, so it's like a sine wave curve. And the precession of the equinox is that every 14,000 years, total being 28,000 years or so, it is going up, down, and across in a full cycle, 28,000 year precession of the equinox, across that galactic plane of hundreds of billions of star systems. And so every 14,000 years, it crosses that galactic plane, and that's what's going on now.
Take it to the next level that we don't even know about, and that is the Milky Way. Don Estes talks about five more layers. The Milky Way is going around something every, like, trillion years. And whatever that's going around something else.
Yeah.
So there's five more layers beyond just the Earth, the sun going around the Milky Way in 200 million years. So it's – and yes. I mean, it's so interesting because, you know, I think – my intuition is that it's the song that's changing. It's the song that it's, you can think of it as the relationship of the movements. That song is changing. And I think that song is precisely, we are a hologram of that song.
Oh, yes. It's an instant, everywhere, interactive, dimensional hologram. I mean, when I say that, it's all connected in ways. you can say it's the fractal order of the holographic universe, or you can say it's the fabric of space-time. But
check
you know,
this out. I got something you might find really interesting. You know, I've been thinking about what if the soul is a frequency. I really come to believe that the soul is just a stable frequency that is humming perfectly in peace, connected to source all the time, that doesn't need healing. It's just sitting there going, what the hell are you doing now? You know, what are you up to? How are you moving away from source now? You know, right? But I thought, okay, what's the ascension process based on a frequency perspective of the soul? And, you know, I kept thinking, okay, well, it's really about getting more and more to that pure frequency of your soul only. And this rabbi who teaches here is quite amazing. He said, no, that wouldn't make sense, because then you would be going back to zero, when the truth is you have all these harmonics that are actually all the information of all your past lives. And ascension is about getting all those harmonics into harmony instead of dissonance. So reworking all your karma or whatever, you know, until you've got the whole thing in harmony. So it's like you've got this huge sacred geometry structure of perfection, totally harmonious, that is 100% connected to source and in alignment with your frequency of your soul. And I think about that at the cosmic level of the entire universe moving into more and more harmony, that would then bring that more and more harmony into us and cleanse all of the, you know, junk. It's just that I've never thought of this until this moment, but...
Well, you know, the individual that, and I'm trying to think of his name right, but on the astroacoustics, he talked about that the frequencies of these different giant stars, blue stars, red stars, all these different, that they're actually the intelligent, the highly advanced intelligence in the quantum field. They have an attainment, you might say. They have ascended to through systems of worlds, and you know, we're each in our own soul, individualized soul. You know, we each have our own, you might say, system of worlds. And my understanding is in the conscious evolution process from embodiment to embodiment in the larger scheme of conscious of cosmic evolution, is that, you know, we become, you know, we embody different levels of consciousness, from planetary levels to stellar levels to galactic levels, you know, the great central sun of our Milky Way galaxy. Right. But there's an intelligence of all of it. And if you take the photon belt of the galactic plane with hundreds of billions of star systems, and how our solar system now is in alignment with that, you know, this last 5-10 years, it's been accelerating, and like there's an intensity right now. And it's just really starting to sink in into the collective consciousness of humanity, where there's, call it thinning of the veil, or an awakening, or a surge in the source field, where people are connecting with this, you know, people, all kinds of people are coming, gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, channeling.
Yeah,
I mean,
right,
look at all
right.
the people on BBS radio that are channeling right. their, you know, for whatever. But I mean, it's a phenomena right now, and the phenomena of healing as a function of that, I really think, is what each individualized soul goes through in the process of harmonizing, you might say, on levels of integration of, and, you know, again, the you know, the soul evolves. I mean, the soul, the attainment, it's not just, I mean, it's the same, but it's embodiment to embodiment. There's like that holographic perspective of putting on different personalities and putting on different perspectives. So it's like the dimensionality of the multi-dimensions of God, the holographic, you know, consciousness.
You know, it's interesting. In sound healing, there's, you know, two perspectives. There's one of, I mean, basically in any healing or consciousness, you can focus on what's wrong and try and work out all the things that are wrong and train them into what's right, or break up what's wrong with dissonant frequencies and get, or you can actually find the frequencies that are missing and create more of a coherence of the full spectrum of frequencies, so the energy flows. Or the whole other perspective is to simply go to cosmic consciousness, which is, you know, can be as simple as gratitude, running gratitude with energy and sound, or love or compassion, or connecting to your soul. Or I think the ultimate is going to that place where you're just one with the universe. And just talking with you now, you know, it's just that the world is just so unbelievably complex that to think that we can engineer anything, it seems like the right, you know, it's like other than screwing it up. I mean, it seems like the only thing we can do is use these tools to get us to the place of the shaman where we see all frequencies, all sounds, all energy, all musical flow of the entire universe, just like the Tibetan Lama. You go to this place of oneness, and that's the whole deal, because then we don't have to figure anything out anymore. We are it, and we can see the whole flow, and we are in alignment. And if anything needs to change, you just go, eek, and it's done.
So we're talking about creating an environment in which wholeness, oneness can thrive.
Exactly. And, you know, in sound, what I've discovered, and a lot of people talk about this, to go into a state, that state, when you're in that state, first of all, you're in a state of theta, which is, you know, between 4 and 8 cycles per second. And so you can use rhythms of 4 to 8 cycles per second to entrain you into that state. And that's one portal to get into this state of oneness. Another way is when you are one with the universe, you're tuning into all frequencies at the same time. You're basically, when you're in the quantum field, time goes away, you are all frequencies at the same time. Well, if you tune into even just 2 frequencies at the same time, your brain goes into theta. If you tune into like a bunch of sparkles on the ocean, or the harmonics of sound, or all the different instruments in a song at once, where you go into the zone, that's the portal to this oneness. So anytime you, even looking at the branches on a tree, you know, or a field of grass, nature's got it down. I mean, nature always has multiple things you can tune in. That's why we love landscapes,
yeah.
You know, because we can go into the zone just by going, whoa, you know, or views of anything, you know. So that's really, I think, and now those are 2 of the ways you can go with sound to this oneness. Now, often when you just have people that are playing music that are in state of oneness, we often can just get triggered. And sometimes, I mean, it can just be a dorky song, and all of a sudden we're like, you know, whoa, we're just in the zone.
Yeah.
You know, so because we've already got it in us. So there's many different ways, and I think that's really the ultimate thing. Instead of even focusing on one frequency of a bowl or a tuning fork or a tone generator, it seems way more important to focus on a whole array of frequencies at the same time. It's almost like a brainwave map, where you have all the different frequencies of consciousness, you know, delta on one part of the brain, theta on another part of the brain, alpha, and that whole map creates the Dalai Lama trained meditator map.
Like a symphony.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always multiple combination of frequencies in flow is where we often want to go. Instead, I think a lot of people get stuck on these individual frequencies. However, one perfect individual frequency can still be a portal to that dimension also.
Yeah. Yeah, I've wondered.
So there's portals every level.
I've wondered about the science behind, like the Cefeggio frequencies that Dr. Horowitz talked about.
Oh, I can tell you, there's so much misinformation. You know, the Cefeggio frequencies were discovered 30 years ago by Joseph Pelayo.
Yeah.
He did numerology on the Bible, which is really cool, actually. What came up is when you change the letters in the Bible to numbers, these 6 numbers only, these 6 numbers came up over and over and over. And that's pretty amazing.
It is.
And they all break down to 3, 6, and 9. And some people, although it's not completely clear, say that they actually have a structure similar to DNA, although that's not perfectly clear when you look at the evidence. But then here's where the confusion happened. Someone thought, oh, well, let's add in the solfege sounds, which are simply do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, which came from Father Guido in 1000 AD. And so everybody is now thinking these are ancient frequencies. They were not used in ancient times. They're too weird. They're really weird. They're totally dissonant.
I thought the ancient Franciscan monks, that they were actually using solfeggio frequencies.
No, they were using solfege. And that's where the confusion. Solfege, which are the sounds. They were using do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. They were not using these frequencies. No one would ever tune to these frequencies because they're so bizarre. I mean, 528 is really weird to sing to because it actually is stressful on the throat, on the voice. When you tune to 444, which is in A, I mean, even 440 is like they say is really stressful on an opera singer's voice. You go up to 444, it's like really stressful.
So what do you think
it's not natural.
What do you think the codes were that Dr. Pelio unveiled that were coded in the Bible? Why do you think that they were coded in there like that?
Wow, boy, I appreciate the fact you think I might know the answer to that question.
You know, I was communications director for Dr. Horowitz back at that time, and we went over to see Dr. Pelio. And matter of fact, I got to see Dr. Pelio with Dr. Horowitz, and he shuttled Dr. Horowitz into the next room, and we talked at 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, "I'm so excited. Yeshua told me you were coming." And we had an incredible time. We like went to another level, into some kind of a zone that I'd never been into before. He's into all kinds of energy healing, using the advanced ultramolecular electrodiagnostics and different stuff. But anyway, I had an incredible experience with him, and I found out that he was quite irate with Dr. Horowitz about ripping off his stuff and publishing it.
Horowitz has ripped off so many people. Actually, he ripped off Randy Masters, our instructor, as well. God bless him. I don't want to. I am not a baby tosser. I never throw out any babies with the bathwater. So I really am not saying that there's nothing. There's nothing cool about the solfeggio frequencies. I think there's definitely could be something really major about them. What's interesting, though, is it's mostly about dissonance and breaking up systems, because the solfeggio frequencies together sound horrible, which is really cool for breaking up blockages and breaking. Yeah. We sell a tuning fork set here of the solfeggio frequency. Also, even the meanings of each frequency are not ancient. They're not ancient. Those are only 30 years old as well. But even though they're not ancient, and even though 528 has nothing to do with love, all these people are resonating these energies with these frequencies, lots of people now. And so even if it had no truth behind it at all, there's a field that's been set up tap into.
Believing it so makes it so. They interject and project their own love into it, so it creates a field.
It's even better, though, when the actual reality aligns with the field, too.
Yeah. That's the best. harmonics is an amazing thing that, of course, Pythagoras was really into it, not just geometry, but the harmonics. He was one of the great, the fathers of that science.
You may not know this about harmonics. Did you know that the harmonic structure is mathematical multiples, 1 × 2 × 3 × 4 × 5 × and so forth? That same mathematical structure is in the distance between the planets. The distance from the sun to Mercury is the root. the distance from Mercury to Venus is 2 times the Sun to Mercury.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Venus to Earth is 3 times. Earth to Mars is 4 times. Mars to the asteroid belt is 5 times. And then Jupiter, 6, 7 to Saturn and so forth. And so it's not perfect, but it's, if you average out the ellipses, it's really close. That same mathematical structure is also in the distance between the electron shells and the atom. It's also in the weight.
Quantum field harmonics follow the same universal laws.
Exactly. At the quantum level, matter jumps from one level of energy to another based on 1 times, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. So we're actually, when we resonate any sound, that mathematical harmonic structure is resonating through the whole universe down to the quantum level through entanglement and affecting everybody.
So we're really talking about another version of love as the ultimate quantum laws of creation. Okay.
Okay, so back to the... So I think of the harmonic structure of sound, which resonates through the entire universe, every atom through the planets in that mathematical structure, as the masculine structure of the universe, whereas the actual golden mean and Fibonacci is that's the growth pattern and love. So I think of that as the feminine mathematical pattern through the universe. There's many other mathematical patterns, but those are the main two that are really...
That's my understanding, and that the harmonics of coherence and is an audio function that corresponds more to the right brain, just like audio corresponds to the right hemisphere, intuitive, nonlinear energies, just as the left hemisphere of the brain is more visual-oriented and more of a linear consciousness and is more the compartmentalized separation of frequencies and pattern recognition within that separation, whereas right hemisphere coherence is more of a function of like the still mountain lake that, you know, will reflect the heavens, and yet you can look through the surface to the structure beneath, you know.
And then, of course, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people always talk about getting out of the left brain into the right brain, but the ultimate is really the balance where you and it's
the whole
like,
brain.
And you can see it in EEG. Here's the difference in EEG from Anna Weiss, who passed away a couple of years ago. The basic idea is when you're one with the universe, you're mostly in the right brain. But when you are aware of your soul frequency or of you at the same time that you're one with the universe, you're in the left and right brain at the same time.
At the same time. Of course, the left and right brain are switching very quickly between the two halves. It's just that when you're left brain dominant, you interject and project through a left brain dominant, you know, perspective and vice versa, the right brain. So a strength and excess is a weakness, but that balance of the two, there's a synergy, symbiosis, you know, a wholeness, a holiness, that it's like the infinite and eternal here and now.
Nice.
It's, you know, it's like being fully present within it, that sense of the infinite and eternal presence of Creator, God, Source, you know, however you...
You know, it's interesting. It's like I always think, so many people think that you need to get out of the left brain completely. And that's not really the trick. I think the trick is to be able to entrain the left brain into the patterns of nature.
I agree. And of course, what is natural, what is whole, and what is the circle of wholeness that really is the brain field that is both left and right and upper brain, lower brain, forebrain, and rear brain, you know, the whole brain, you know, how to engage that, you might say, with harmonics, with that, and how to step into that circle of wholeness and engage and train, you might say, holiness.
Right.
We get that one figured out, and we'll definitely go with the flow.
Well, we know for sure that when you put one, binaural beats, one frequency in the left ear and one in the right, not only does it do the brainwave entrainment of delta, theta, alpha, and beta, or gamma and subdelta at the same time when you're in higher consciousness. But it also does synchronize the left and right brain, and when you're wearing headphones. You don't have to wear headphones to get the entrainment of delta, theta, alpha, but to get the left and right brain entrainment, you do. But, you know, when you always think of it this way, the more ways you lead a horse to water, the more chances it will drink of consciousness.
There we go.
You know, so if you get, like, get it working where you've got these frequencies that are synchronizing the left and right brain, you use harmonics that are actually in alignment with higher consciousness, a whole array of harmonics, because, you know, it's harmonic, the harmonic structure that dolphins use to create holograms of consciousness that they transmit.
That's amazing.
It's like this, one of our instructors says that the quantum world is the harmonic world, which is doesn't need time, whereas we live in the melodic world, which is requires time. But then you get the whole flow of frequencies of music in rhythm that's flowing smoothly with a intention, and you get all four going at the same time, along with, not to mention, light and color and sacred geometry structures that are in alignment. Oh, my God, people don't have a chance other than to be in the zone.
And becoming more conscious of how we're conscious, we're going to have to do a wrap with that idea of involving and evolving our individual and collective conscience. That's kind of the theme that I carry through show to show.
Nice.
But, David, I want to thank you for being with us today. I'd love to do this again, and I feel we have unfinished business along these lines.
Oh, you know, I want to mention one thing. We do have a sound healing conference coming up in September, September 11th here in Oakland. It's a major sound healing conference for four days. It's our fifth one. And if anybody's interested, they can go to soundhealingcenter.com.
Well,
besides our classes as well.
Thank you for increasing our awareness. I would love to be there myself, to tell you the truth. This subject fascinates me. It's the audio part of the visual thing that I'm most involved with, but it's something that I want to balance, you know, hemispherically or otherwise. And thanks again, David.
Thanks so much for having me on here.
And we'll do it again, hopefully. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Happy trails till we meet again. See the good. Keep the faith and make it so. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I've enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love. And the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue, We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.